Before I move into the message today, and the message will lead us into our time of celebrating communion as a body of Christ together, I'm going to have a chance, Lori and I get a chance to get away. I want to say thanks again, special thanks to Jose, who's going to be covering, but everybody who's going to be pitching in these next week or two to make things continue to go and work here as a body of Christ. I mentioned my wife. She fell again this week. It's like, okay, we have a vacation, and this happens every time. She falls. I don't know what it is. We're going to Africa. She breaks her leg. You know, last year we had a getaway, and just before we went, she fell and cut up her foot. This week she was on her way to school teaching at the high school, and she tripped on a raised piece of concrete and fell, and now her knee's like about that big. You know, it's like, great. I should have known. Bubble wrapper. Yeah, I'll just surprise her. I'll just take her, and then we'll be fine. But if I tell her we're going on vacation, it's like, you know, she's going to do something. Don't know what it is. But anyway, so your prayers for her. She would appreciate it. But I want to touch a little bit on today, again, talking about the body of Christ, our role, our part in the midst of it. But before we do, I want to say this is a great time of year, isn't it? Everyone loves the fall, don't we? Hey, any sport fans here? This is the best time of year, isn't it? Baseball season, we got pennant races going. Look at Leanne. She's saying, I'm not into sports. No, she's not. So she says. Football season, I mean, it's just right around the corner. I know you're rooting for the Raiders. I forgive you. Yeah, okay, I forgive you. We're still hopeful. Fantasy footballers. Yes, yes, okay, we're going. You know, and even for those who aren't into football or baseball, never fear, hockey season starts in 2 weeks. Yes! Soccer, yeah, NBA, you know, training camp begins in 3 weeks. Yeah, okay, it's way too much. You know, but if you go and even pull it back and make it kind of this time of year, this is a big time of year. You go on any high school campus, and it's all about the athletics that are going on. You got your cross country teams, you got your water polo teams, you got your volleyball teams, you got your football teams, and it's all going, and it's just kind of an exciting time. We live in a sports saturated culture. We just do. It's just part of how where we live. You may or may not be into these sports, but we live, we've got to admit it, we live in a sports-saturated culture. It's dominated by big money, big crowds, big TV ratings. I heard this actually a long time ago, but former coach at Oklahoma, Bud Wilkinson, once described football this way. I thought it was a great one. 22 young men in desperate need of rest being watched by thousands of people in desperate need of exercise. That is America and football. True that? Yeah. You know, it's a funny thing. We are sports dominated, and we get this because we recognize that football, for most of us, is what we call a spectator sport, right? That I'm not getting out there on the field with these 300-pound monsters and running around and having them crush me. I'm not going to do that. But I don't mind sitting in front of my TV or going to a game and watching them do that to somebody else. I'm kind of a sadist that way, I guess. You know, yeah, maybe that's it. It is human nature. That's exactly what it is. And because sports dominates our culture, sometimes it affects the way we see other things around us. Think about this. You know, if you're going to a football game, you go to the football game, you get to the stadium, you go and you find your seat, you enjoy the game, you feel good about the game, and then you go home hoping to maybe return next week or the week following to enjoy another event. See, that's how we think of football, isn't it? But you know, part of that, because we see through that lens and our culture has kind of shaped us, that's how we see a lot of things, including what it means to be a member of the church. That we go to the stadium, we find our seat, we enjoy the game, we feel good, and we go home hoping to maybe come back the next week and enjoy another event. And that's somehow what we think of how things ought to work, because we've been we've been kind of culturally, yeah, we're in that pattern. And we see it and we think of it that way. Now, I'm not suggesting that what happens in a football game or what happens at worship is anything the same. It's just simply the way that we have become to see the world through the lenses through which we see the world kind of bleeds over one to the other. But if we read through the New Testament, I want to just challenge us on that thinking, that when we read through the New Testament, we see that there is something completely other that is foreign to our culture, that what the says the church is supposed to be. It is not to be seen as a spectator sport. It's not to be seen as an event to go and then leave from. But being part of the church is that we are called to be the church. Francis Chan, in his new book, just came out. It's called Letters to the Church, says this. He says, "We live in a time when people go to a building on Sunday morning, attend a hour-long service, and call themselves members of the church." And that shocks no one, because that's just kind of become the norm of how we do things and how we see things. But if we look at the New Testament, and that's what Chan's book is about, is beginning to look into how it is that we ought to be, not the way the culture has shaped us. We see that it's completely other. The church is not a place where you go. In fact, we said this last year. The church is not a place we go, but the church, if you read the New Testament, is who we are to be. Again, that changes how we see it. But again, the language the New Testament uses is language which is to be language. The church doesn't talk about events. It doesn't talk about gatherings. It talks about being a family. Or it talks even more intimately about being a body together. We take that spectator model, we try to put it on the church, and it doesn't really fit. Even though it works for us because we are used to it, it's not what we are called to be. No, the body of Christ is who we are called to be. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, it says this. There it says that just as a body, a physical body, though is one, has many different parts, and not all the parts, no, but all the parts form one body. And so it is with Christ. That as, I know you've heard this before, but the idea that we are somehow formed and fashioned and then knit together with diverse purposes and diverse gifts and diverse skills and diverse passions and diverse abilities, that we begin to fit together to make up this whole, which the Bible calls a body, which then the Bible refers to as the church. You know, as Maggie was saying about going to the D Street shelter, there are various roles of going and working at D Street to serve the homeless. Some are going to be working outside, working on the grills, or some are working in the kitchen, preparing the meal. Some are doing various other things. Some are working with the people who are actually there. And all of those have a heart to serve the homeless, but they all serve in a diverse way. But coming together, it makes for a beautiful team. If everyone who went, Maggie, tell me how this would work. If everyone who went didn't want to do any preparation or any cooking, but only wanted to talk with the homeless folk as they were eating, how would it work? It would. It would be crazy for you in the kitchen by yourself. Okay, but conversely, if everyone wanted to go only to be in the kitchen with Maggie because it's cool being in the kitchen with Maggie, but if everyone only wanted to do Maggie in kitchen work, how would that be? We wouldn't have any interaction. It would just be providing food. But when there's food provided in the context of love and given with human contact with those who are out and about, and everyone plays their various roles, we've got a team that can be a great source of blessing. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all of its many parts form yet one body. Okay, so we're going to say that the body is the church, but the many parts are you and me. So how do we begin to figure this out? How do we begin to find what kind of part I am and what part am I to play? Because we know this from a team, football teams. Any coaches here? All right, good. Football coaches especially, this is great. You don't go out on the field and say, all of you, go play quarterback. You can't do that. It doesn't work that way. You say, no, all of you play your various parts, and if we all play your parts well, we will have a good game. Now, the one example that probably breaks that mold is under six soccer, because they don't play positions. They all just, like a beehive around the ball, they all over the field. But as they get older, yeah, Gilbert, as they get older, you get them to learn positions and how to play as a team together and begin to break out of that cycle and say, we're going to do something that's going to be more. And that's what we as a church are called to be. So, so I'm going to read this next passage. This comes from the same chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and it says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. Each of us has a gift. None of us has all the gifts. And the reason that is because God has designed us to need each other to fit to make his body. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. And there again, there it is. Someone who might have a gift of encouragement but they love little kids might find a great place to serve in the nursery. But if you find someone with a gift of encouragement, the same gift, the same spirit, but it's a different type of service. They love elderly folks. Maybe they would find a different type of service, but it's still going to be their service. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God who is at work. Now to each one, raise your hand if you're one of them. Yes, all of you. You are all called each one. We're going to get name tags next week that say this, each one. That's me. Or you can go into your Bible and you can write above where it says each one, you can write me. Okay? Because now to each one, that is you, the manifestation of the Spirit is given not for your good alone, but for the common good, so that the whole body becomes more healthy. Okay, so this is where I want to start and maybe even move to a jumping off. Oh, before we go there, I can't jump off yet. Because there's some awesome things. When it comes to the idea of using the gifts we have for service, I love this quote from Muhammad Ali. It says that service to others is the rent you pay for your room here on earth. I love that analogy. That though we have a time here on earth, we don't know how long that time may be, we have that time, and what we do to earn our keep is to serve one another. We talked about it last week, that we have all been created as God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works that he has prepared in advance for us to do. So it's not just our earning our keep, it is doing what we have been created to do when we talk about service. And yet, oftentimes we all have all kinds of reasons why we don't take time to serve. Going back to your bulletin, in that green sheet you had in there, I want to encourage you to pull that out. This is going to be a little interactive time here. Because at the bottom it says name, and you can choose to do one of two things. You can either write each one, or you can write your name. Write your name. That would be better. That would be better. Because I've got just a handful, and there's just a few little ideas here to say, maybe there are some ways that I could begin to think about serving, if in fact it is part of how God has made me, and God has made me unique to be used, and if I'm not being used, not only is it diminishing my experience because I'm not doing what God made me to do, but it's also diminishing the spirit, the experience of the entire body, that I'm withholding something that was intended to be given for the common good. So we have some ideas here. Maybe you would like to try helping with the homeless. You can sign up out in the back table, or you could simply mark a check here. I would like to try that. Whether it be this week or sometime soon, I want to try that out. When we turn these in with your name on it and that check, you'll be kind of put into a group that would be notified when we're going back and give a chance to be a part of the team. Or maybe you'd like to help. Maybe you say, I don't know if I want to go on a foreign mission or even go down and work with the homeless, but I would like to be a part of helping. And so maybe this October with that mission auction, I would like to help because it's kind of fun working with people, and being part of an event would be kind of encouraging to me. If you've got gifts in helping, mark that one possibly. Or maybe think about what we do on Sunday mornings. I can help with the tech team. Jeremy? Yes! Jeremy says, please help with the tech team. Maybe you've got an ability, you understand how like electronics works and stuff, or computers. You know what? Not everyone does, but if you could give, say, I can serve maybe once in a while, once a month, I could be a part of a rotation that could help bless the church. Mark that down. And again, we'll put you in touch with the people who can help figure that all out, get the training and stuff. I could help with being an usher. I could help with my music ability. You guys are doing a fabulous job, and I appreciate Jeremy running the all the background stuff, but we could always use more who have got gifts in music to say, I'd like to be a part of that rotation as well, or providing refreshments and things like that to make our Sunday mornings. Let me keep going, because this is going to get boring. You can read. I know you can read. But maybe you say, I love little kids. Mark that. Maybe I could help in the nursery. Or maybe you say, I hate little kids. Well, then mark that you can work with the youth. That would be fine too. Yeah. Or maybe, you know, there's a place in between. I could help out in Sunday school. Mark that and then come to the meeting after church today. Find out where it is that maybe some of what you enjoy doing by applying that with a little bit of your time can be a blessing not just to you, but to the body as a whole. Maybe you'd like to be a part of a midweek Bible study. You're going to get involved by being a part of a midweek Bible study. Maybe you'd like to be part of a different type of study, maybe a group that meets from time to time. Or you'd be willing to host a group or host a study. You know, these are ways that we can serve. Maybe you'd be willing to fix a meal for someone who's just getting home from the hospital, or for a young couple who just brought a baby home. We want to not make them have to go and work in their kitchen. We would like to prepare some meals. If that's you, you could do that. What a gift it is. And say, I would like to help with the care ministries, doing something like that. Or I could maybe give somebody a ride if they need to go to an appointment but can't go by themselves and don't know what else to do. Every once in a while, there's lots of ways that we can care for one another. And mark something. I want to challenge you. Mark something or turn it over and say, this is an area of service I would like to explore. Either way, by marking or writing, put your name on it. To close today, we're going to invite you to come and just leave these. We're going to invite you to leave them on the front row as you come for communion today. That part of what we do is bring our roles and maybe, God, this is how you might use me. And I want you to use me. Jeremy, go back to that other the other one prior to that. Yeah, there's a song. And I just want to say this is going to be our theme song, at least to think in our heads. We don't have it on the queue. We could have, because we're doing YouTube this morning. John Fogerty did a song a number of years ago, and it's a lot of fun. It's one of these songs that kind of gets you fired up, and the lyrics go something like this, put me in, coach. You know the song? I'm ready to play today. Put me in, coach. I'm ready to play today. How's this, Joanna? Am I doing okay? Look at me. I could be center field. Yeah. Yeah, you know, that's kind of a fun song, and it gets you kind of fired up. But I think, you know, if we were to take that, again, that sports analogy, and begin to apply it to our work here in the church, and say, God, put me in, coach. Where do you want me to be? Where do you want me to play? How do you want me to play this game for you? And it would begin to take us and go to a whole new place. That the body of Christ, again, not just because that's how we were made, but because that's what we were made for, is to be a serving body. So take a moment. Fill this out. And we're going to invite you to come and receive this reminder of God's love for you. But not just his love for you, his desire to fill you so that you might be all that he created you to be. So again, I'm going to invite my servers to come for communion. In this moment of prayer, I want you to continue to consider areas of service that might be up your alley. When we invite you to come forward, again, bring the green card, and the front pew is open. And so we're going to say, just take that card and set it on the pew. And as you do, come and receive the elements of communion. That Christ gave his life for us, that on the night that he was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it. And he said, take and eat, for this is my body, which is broken for you. In the same way, he took the cup, and having blessed it, he offered it to them, saying, take and drink from this, all of you, for this is my blood, which is poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you do it in remembrance of me. So, Father, we do this in remembrance of you, of your heart for us, your love for us, the intimate way in which you know us, and the intimate way in which you have crafted and made us. God, as we come, help us to come and feel again your love flowing over us, that we in turn might take and share that love flowing out of us in the way that we represent your body to the world. In Jesus' name, amen.